through the years, you made it clear that the time of Christ was near, though the people could not see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of your name. El Shaddai, truly praise and lift you high. For daily it is becoming clear to us who you truly are. El Shaddai, the God who truly is more than enough. The heavens declare your glory. The earth is full of your handiworks. From the invisible things of you are clearly seen, being understood by all you have made. And we truly see you are El Shaddai. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, humbling ourselves under your mighty hand. And in particular, I ask for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same anointing and unction, I pray, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Father, I pray, as I speak, wills will become more humble, minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions will be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further ask that power be released in great measure to follow these words, to back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver it, that I will do it indeed with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. This afternoon I have an important message, a prophetic message, an encouraging message for everyone, particularly for the church in these dark and perilous times. And I've entitled it, Subduing the Nations. I have preached this before some years ago, actually I think in 2015. But The present truth of God's word demands that as the Holy Spirit directs us, like Peter said, he says, I will not be negligent to put you into remembrance of these things, though you know them. Hebrews chapter 11. Keep playing that. If you can record it, and so you can just keep circulating. Very nice atmosphere. Beautiful presence of God. Hebrews 11 verse 33. The scripture says, Paul was talking about the New Testament, Old Testament heroes of faith, and says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. I'm just going to stop there because that's where I've taken my text from. Subduing the nations. In those days, they had kingdoms. Today, we call them nations. Even we still have kingdoms today. United Kingdom, you know, Great Britain is a kingdom because they still have a queen. They have a sovereign monarch who doesn't rule directly. She rules, but she does it through parliament and the prime minister. And so we still have kingdoms. Now, the word subdue is a very important word. It's one of the things why I love the King James. Sometimes the modern translations, they lose some of these things. And one of the strengths of the King James is that it was done, you know, by scholars who did as best as they could a word-to-word translation. In other words, they didn't paraphrase it. They didn't try and put their own thing in. Whatever they saw in the Hebrew, they put it the English equivalent. Whatever they saw in the Greek, they put the English equivalent. Now, sometimes they weren't very correct, but most of the time they were correct, and they preserved in a great measure the spirit of the scriptures. Some of the modern translations make the English clearer, but in trying to do that, sometimes, not often, but sometimes they lose out on deeper spiritual truth. I like the word, if you look in New King James, it says, sorry, New International, it says conquered. Well, really, that's not what the Bible really said. It says subdued. To subdue something, you could say conquer, but it's to put it under control. For example, you subdue your appetite, or you subdue, you know, an event or an attack. Yeah, conquer, but I prefer the word subdue because it does not connote total taking over. It connotes control. Let's say it in the way we say today, we put them in check. In here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, tells us, he said that the Old Testament saints, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. Today, we're living in a world where there is open rebellion to the Word of God. Blatant, opened, unrepentant, unapologetic, throwing your face, if you like. Conflict with the Word of God. And I'm sure many of us have asked and are still asking this question in our hearts. It's a question that the scripture actually asks. So why should the heathen say, where is their God? And they're asking. I remember watching the movie, Ten Commandments. I still have it at home. I still watch it occasionally. It's a good thing to watch. You know, they did a lot of research. I'm talking about the real one, the original one. Not the one that Charlton Heston acted, the one that was done in the 1950s. It's still a classic any day. And what just you know, it was because it was a film and they were acting it, but they were acting the reality of what's recorded in the Bible. And Moses was prince of Egypt at that time. This was, you know, in the earlier part of the film, before God revealed himself to him. And it was a nice, I think they sketched it for television, but it brought out a beautiful truth. And it was this, Moses was building a pyramid, and he was building, you know, a city for the Pharaoh. So they had his time schedule, so they had to try and work fast and all of that. So what happened, you know, was that, you know, in trying to push the stone and everything, there was a lot of commotion and all of that. And a Hebrew man was trapped. She was putting in the cement. You know, they didn't have, they call it cement. You know, they put in the mortar that would seal the thing. And she was putting in it. So when she was putting in her cloth, got caught in the stone. So they were now pushing. If they didn't stop, she would have been pushed and killed and crushed with the stone. So in the film, Joshua, he was still a slave at that time, was a young man, saw what was happening. So he came from where he was, a stone cutter. So he slid down from where he was and pushed the Egyptians away and got them to stop pushing the stone. So everybody had to stop. The slave master who was there was very angry. Why should he have stopped it? But, and he wanted to, you know, punish Joshua. So the woman who was caught with the stone actually happened to be Moses' mother, but he didn't know that it was his mother. She was just another slave. So the woman now told Joshua that he quickly run to the prince to ask for mercy. Then Joshua said, "Mercy from Ramses?" He said, "No, Prince Moses on the pavilion." So the guy ran, and the people were, all the guards were chasing him and ran to Moses. So when he got to Moses, he said, "Mercy, mercy, mercy." He said, "What have you done?" He said, "Not for me, it's just for an old woman who was caught in the stone." So Moses told them to stop. Then he went down. He didn't know it was his mother. He was still an Egyptian prince. So he now went with Joshua and went down to where to go and see what was happening. So he saw the woman, you know, and her cloth trapped inside the with the stone. And, you know, and he looked at the master builder who was angry, who wanted to kill. He wanted to beat Joshua and kill him, you know. So he said, "Are you a master builder or a master butcher? So why do you want to kill an old woman?" You know. So Moses took his knife and cut the cloth and released the woman. So the man said, "Look, if you keep stopping this thing for every slave that gets trapped, we won't finish the building." Then Joshua spoke up and said, if the slaves are hungry, it's because they are not fed. And they don't feed us properly. If they feed us properly, we'll be able to work harder and we'll be able to move faster." Someone said, "How come? They're not feeding them." He said, "Make sure they give them food. And give them one day in seven to rest." God hadn't spoken to him yet about Sabbath or anything. He just said, you know. But this is what I remember. And so, when all of that happened, Joshua now said to him, that, you know, our God would deliver us, you know, and help us. Then Moses said, "If your God is so powerful, how come he leaves you in bondage?" It always resonated in my heart. Although it was acted as a film. But, you know, it must have something like that. He said, "If your God is so powerful, how can he leave you in bondage?" And Joshua looked at him prophetically. He didn't know it was prophetic. He just looked at it. He said, you know, "He will deliver us. And one day he will send our deliverer." Not knowing he was talking to Moses. Who is going to be the deliverer later on? Praise the Lord. You know, that was in the earlier part of the film. Before God revealed himself to Moses, he just saw himself as an Egyptian prince. But the point is, and this brings me to my point today. If your God is so powerful, and live in bondage. Now the heathen flat in our face, where's your God? But the good news, the Bible says, in the Old Testament, through faith they subdued kingdoms. And I particularly zeroed on the word subdue because it didn't mean conquer. And I'm going to give you three examples. Number one, Daniel. Daniel didn't conquer Nebuchadnezzar, he just controlled him. He didn't conquer him. Hello? Daniel literally controlled Babylon. Disciplined Nebuchadnezzar, got rid of Belteshazzar, brought in Darius, and later on Cyrus. That is subduing nations. Observe, Daniel was not the prime minister. He was not the president, we will say today. Are you listening to me? He was just an advisor, a counselor that had spiritual power and influence and therefore determined the direction of the nation. That's what we mean by subdue. Example number two, Ezra. Let's go to Ezra chapter 6. Ezra did not conquer Persia. He didn't conquer the king. He just subdued him. If you know the story, those of us who don't know the story, there's Nehemiah and Ezra. They all, you know, Ezra was a priest. Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the king. Anyway, cut a long story short, they got the favor of Cyrus to go and build the temple in Jerusalem. You know, and this is what Cyrus said. Ezra chapter 6, if you will. Talking about subduing the nations. We're going to bring it to our own time today. Ezra, chapter 6, verse 7. Let's go to verse 6. Because I think that, you know. Anyway, because of time, I don't want to go into everything. Darius gives a decree. Verse 7. Go to verse 7. Don't let me bother with all this. This is Darius's. Give me this in the New International Version. Just for now. New International until I tell you to go back. This is what Darius the king, the decree. This is a heathen. He's not a Christian. If he was today, we'll say he's not born again. He's just a heathen. He's just an unbeliever, but a benevolent king. The word benevolent means somebody who gives, who is kind. You have three kinds of rulers. You have the wicked and ungodly. You have the benevolent and you have the godly. David was a godly king. He knew God and he was king. Occasionally you have that. For example, I know, you know, both by profession as well as by attitude and all that. It's not like George W. Bush. He was a Christian. He didn't hide it. Born again, solid, you know. He didn't, you know, he's a godly ruler, you know. So you can have a king who is wicked and ungodly. You have some who are really wicked. Some are just not wicked, but they're ungodly. They're not just very righteous, you know. And then some who are both wicked and ungodly. Then you have rulers who are benevolent. That is, they're kind and good, you know. And then you have those who are godly. And that's why we have to pray. When we pray for kings, we can change them sometimes because they have a free will. We can't change all of them. You know, if a ruler is ungodly, like Nebuchadnezzar was initially ungodly and wicked. But by the time Daniel finished with him, Nebuchadnezzar became benevolent. And he acknowledged the God of Israel. That's what we mean by subdue. Daniel literally subdued Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't conquer him with bow and arrow or with guns. So it is today in Nigeria. So it is today in the world with Donald Trump and everything. Don't worry. Tell your neighbor, say, don't worry. God's in control. We are going to subdue the nations. Correction, we are subduing the nations. No, we're not going to. We're already, we're in the present continuous process of doing so. Are you listening to me? Subdue. So here is Ezra and Darius. So Darius says, do not interfere. They were going to build the temple, and there were some people on the other side who were trying to stop them, you know, from building the temple. So Darius got to hear about it, you know, because it was Cyrus, his father, who had given the decree, you know, this is many, many years before, you know, and then he, you know, he now gives this something. This is a show of subduing kingdoms. Now, look at what he says. He said, do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. There's a guy who is not a Christian. But through the intercession of Daniel, of Nehemiah, of Ezra, you know, the Holy Spirit, through the air, was able to influence the thinking of this leader, such that he now gave things that were beneficial to the church. Are you listening to me? This is what called subduing the nations. Next verse. Moreover, I didn't hear you. I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. That's why I read in King James, because, you know, it's clear modern English. These expenses, or rather, the expenses of these men are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury. That's control. But you're not done yet. From the revenues of Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. We're going to have more and more of this now. Amen. Even if there's a donkey there, as we pray, the donkey will speak God's word. So you don't worry about what's going on. Are you listening to me? As we continue to pray, God will work through them. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8, verse 9. And whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs, for the burnt offerings to the God of heaven. Hey, this guy switches. He doesn't call him the God of the Jews. He calls him the God of heaven. Who told him? Remember what I shared during the Bible study? It says, for God has showed it to them. See, this is the true light that lighted every man, including Darius. Here is one honest person who yielded to what God spoke to him in his heart. Are you listening to me? That was the big difference between the Persian kings and the Babylonian kings. The Babylonian kings were very, and they are, you know, they were the Assyrians, they were the Babylonians, they were the Persians, then later on the Roman, the Greek, and then the Roman Empire. Those were the empires as they came. But of all those empires, the one that were the best, nicest to the Jews were the Persians. Incidentally, that's where Iran is now. So don't worry about the Ayatollahs. If we deal with their fathers, we can deal with them. Am I talking to anybody here? Don't chill. The problem is the church doesn't pray as she should pray, and doesn't live as she should live. And so we don't have the power we should have. These men are meat for us. They're nothing. I'm not saying they're nothing. What I mean by that is that, you know, they're no match for us. What's he talking about? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. If I can deal with the king of Tyros, who in the world is the prince of Tyros? You didn't get it. The king is a satanic ruler. The prince is the earthly one. If once I deal with the king of Tyros, the prince of Tyros is no problem. The problem is we don't deal with the king of Tyros. And then we now go to the prince of Tyros and try and get money from him. Abomination. See our problem? You know what our problem is? We don't understand our problem. It was E.W. Kenyon wrote these words almost 100 years ago. He said, the church does not see, as she has never seen, the issue squarely. We keep looking at things in the natural. We keep looking at things naturally. No, my problem is not Buhari. My problem is not Donald Trump. My problem is not Theresa May or whoever. It's the princes in the air. If I deal with them, those ones will do what we say. It doesn't mean they will lose their free will. What we mean is it's actually subdued. We don't take over their free will. We just make things such that they will do what God wants them to do. Let's say it in Godfather language. Make them an offer they can't refuse. You've never heard of the offer you can't refuse? Just make them an offer they can't refuse. God appears to a guy. His name is Abimelech. He's a king. Another heathen, not born again, not didn't know God. Has a harem with many wives and concubines. Sees Sarah. Sarah is undergoing a spiritual transformation, which every New Testament woman should trust God for. Look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you are hewn. In other words, everything they experienced, or rather, their experiences is something you can tap your faith into. It's part of the renewing of the outer man. That's what Sarah and Abraham experienced, the renewing of the outer man. Hallelujah. They experience in this lifetime the redemption of the body. And they become a type for you and I in the end time. That's free of charge on the side. So Sarah is getting, she's 90 years old, but she's getting younger and more, looking very beautiful. So this guy sees her and says, wow, that's nice, man. Bring her into the harem. Incidentally, you know, this is the thing about God I love. You know, God doesn't do anything at that time. You know, that's why we have to understand our God. Do you understand? If you and I were God, we would have sent an angel at the time he came to get her. And knocked the guy who came to get her on the head and said, you go and touch the wife of a man of God. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet. God doesn't move like that. You know, God's cool. Cool. He's not like you. If it was you and I, took her into the harem. Spent one night there. You would have been wondering, what is God doing? You know, don't your neighbor say, chill. God's in control. He's subduing the nations as we are praying. Chill. Hallelujah. How did God let Donald Trump win? How did this happen? I say, chill. See, God's in control. He's subduing the nations. So, it takes Sarah into this something. God doesn't do anything. At first. Then God appears to Abimelech in a dream. God is the original Godfather. Trust me. He gives him an offer he can't refuse. You're a dead man. As God is much, much more sinister than any mafia don. Trust me. Trust me. Amen. He's the real Godfather. He said, you're a dead man. You've taken a prophet's wife. The man shouted immediately. He said, God! And he didn't know it was his wife. He said, it was his sister. God said, I know. I know you didn't know. In the integrity of your heart, you've done this. But now you know. Now, deliver the wife back to the husband. Or, see you in the morning. The guy was smart enough. He quickly repented. And he didn't even just return Sarah alone. Give plenty of money. Abraham, take your wife. This is offering everything. Go. But God's Bible says that God had already started putting judgment. He had already started closing the wombs of the wives of the people in Abimelech's house. Judgment had already started going. God started moving. But when he did the right thing, God reversed it and healed them. Are you listening to me? We're dealing with a God who is in control. Are you listening to me? but he needs vessels on the earth who know how to pray. And so, going back to the Persian kings, he subdued Darius. He tells them, and this king, let's get back to Ezra now. It's one of the very lovely portions of scripture I like. Ezra, I think we're in chapter 6, verse 9. Ezra. Good. Whatever is needed. Young rams, bulls, rams, male rams, burn to the God of, that's where it's got, the God of heaven. He didn't say the God of the Jews. He said the God of heaven. Something inside the man got him to know that this God of the Jews is the God of heaven. Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, and I lifted up my eyes towards heaven. My reason returned to me, the God who rules in the affairs of men. And he says, he rules in heaven, and nobody can ask him, what doest thou? And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. How did he know? Subdued. He was subdued. To the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and oil, as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, must given them daily without fail. Executive order in favor of God's people is right ahead of us. God has already started it. And he's using people that you don't even think of. People you and I will not choose. But that's God for you. Amen. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar was not godly. Cyrus and these guys, they are unbelievers. But God used them. Next verse. So that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Now that's a smart king. I just want to ask a question. You know, it's a question that helps you to ruminate and think. Why would Darius say this? He had learned from history. He saw what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He heard what happened to Belteshazzar. By looking at history, this is God. Don't mess with him. That's why the Bible says, why should the heathen say, where is our God? By now, the heathen in Nigeria, in America, should be able to say, don't mess with the God of the Christians. Leave them alone. That's why we have to subdue the nations. Are you listening to me? Not everybody will embrace our God. None of them will become Christians. None of them will accept God into their lives, but they will be afraid of him. That's all I want. And they will respect him. And it will never occur to them in their wildest dreams to bring out the vessels in the house and drink wine from it. Because they would have heard what happened to the last guy who did it. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? This is what God wants. Third example is Ezra and Mordecai. Esther, rather, and Mordecai. Esther chapter 8. Because of time, I'm just going to pick the verse and move on. Esther. I know it's very close to Ezra, but it's not. It's Esther now. Esther chapter 8, verse 7 and 10. You know, for those of you who have not read your Bibles properly, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. I have a Bible reading plan in our book. you know, keep yourself in the love of God. I've got a 3-year plan. I've got a 1-year plan. I've got a 3-year plan. It's also on the internet. Avail yourself of this. Read your Bible. Read it under the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? When you read this thing, the Bible says, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. Amen? Let me read this about Ezra, about Esther. You see, King... Okay, let's keep it in the New International, just for now. The King Ahasuerus is what it says in the King James, replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, because, I didn't hear you, Haman attacked the Jews. I have given his estate to Esther, and they have hanged him on the gallows. Verse 8. Now, write another decree in the king's name, in behalf of the Jews, as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked. He gives them a blank check. Make the law. You decide what's going to happen. They didn't conquer him. They subdued him. He was still king. But it was Mordecai and Esther that were determining what was happening. Same thing with Joseph. But I was in the Mount of Tothra, readings, let everybody establish. Now, I want to blow your mind. If in the Old Testament, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Old Testament people who are not born again could subdue kings that had power of life and death. There was no democracy in those days. It's not like today. Hello? There was no democracy. There were no checks and balances. There was no executive, legislature, and judiciary. There was no rule of law. There was nothing like that. These guys, they can wake up in the morning, and if they just decide they want to kill you, that's it. Hello? If he sees your wife and he likes her, that's it. Yeah, you can't argue, you can't talk. If you talk, they kill you. Hello? In Africa, I call it Besele. Some silly people still trying it. It's not as easy anymore anyway. But the point is this. If in the Old Testament saints were able to subdue extremely wicked rulers, how much more should New Testament saints, under a better testament, established on better promises, be able to subdue kings that are not half as wicked as those old ones? In other words, we have more power and they have less wickedness. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. We have more power. All these guys, you know, all our own present leaders, you know, Buhari or Donald Trump or whoever, you know, or any of the heads of state, they're cubs compared to Nebuchadnezzar. They are angels. You compare them to Nebuchadnezzar or even Ahasuerus. The same Ahasuerus you are seeing that married Esther, he wasn't an easy guy, oh. You gotta read the history. He was so temperamental that Esther was afraid to go before him if she did not ask, if he hadn't called. That tells you the kind of wickedness and the kind of power those kings held. She told Mordecai straight off, said, "I can't go." He said, "I can't go." He said, "He has not asked for me in 30 days. He said, if I go and he's in a bad mood, that's it. He'll kill me." I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. How did she know? There are people who had gone when he was in a bad mood and he had killed them. It has happened before. That's how she knew. This same are serious. But fasting and prayer subdued him. Do you know what Esther did? She told Mordecai, all right, I get it. And Mordecai said, look, be careful. Because you're a queen and you're in the palace, we won't save you. You know, you've been brought to the kingdom. If you don't do it, God will raise help from somewhere else and you and your father's house will be destroyed. The message got across. Sometimes you need to speak hard for the message to get across. You know, and so I just said, fine. I said, look, I will fast. You get your guys, you fast. I'll do 3 days, then I'll go before the king. And if he kills me, he kills me. If I perish, I perish. But the die is cast. She goes before the king. He's like a little lamb. This same wicked man. Let me put it this way. This same normally wicked man. He becomes like a little kitten. Just a harmless thing. Immediately he sees Esther, he stretches the golden scepter. I mean, that's even good enough because he could have just... it's his wife anyway. One of them. You know? And, you know, she just comes through the king. Stretches. It's good mood this morning. Hi, Esther. That should be fine enough. But he doesn't stop there. He says, anything you ask to the half of my kingdom. That's unusual. Why would he say that? Prayer. Everybody say prayer. 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 Prayer, 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 prayer. He acts totally out of character. Totally out of. That's not normal or serious. Because they had dealt with the king of Persia. So they were able to subdue the prince of Persia. Deal with the king of Nigeria, you will subdue the prince of Nigeria. Deal with the king of America, you will subdue the prince of America. And they will do the will of God. Are we getting it? Are we getting it? Are we seriously getting it? Hallelujah. That's what happened. This same are serious. This same terrible guy. The other girl she came, asked her to come and dance. She didn't come. I got rid of her. They made a decree that they should go and guard all the virgins in the land. This same fellow. So we know he's no angel. Am I talking to anybody here? Amen. These examples show us, I've taken time under the scriptures, using the scriptures rather, under the Holy Spirit, to show you what the Bible means by subduing kingdoms. It does not necessarily mean conquer. It doesn't even mean holding political post. Now, it could mean a little bit of that sometimes. You know, God could put you in a place of influence where you have their air. But you don't really have to. Amen? To subdue. Are you listening to me? In this case, Esther was there. Mordecai was there. You know, Ezra. Ezra was not in government. Nehemiah was. Nehemiah was the governor just of Judea, you know, and it was the king that put him there. But Ezra wasn't. Ezra was just a priest. But such influence. Such influence. By the power of the Spirit. Now, the reason why this has to happen now is because of the gross darkness and the distress of the nations. Isaiah 60 tells us that darkness, yea, gross darkness, is covering the nations. I don't have to repeat this. We all know what is happening all over the nations. There's two kinds of darkness. Both of them are actually interwoven. There's the spiritual darkness and then there's the moral darkness. Particularly, you know, in America and in England, this question of homosexuality that has now become law, you know, that even if you say something against it, you almost get into trouble, you know, and all of that. That is gross darkness, so much so that the Supreme Court passed a decree, a judgment, you know, legalizing same-sex marriage. That is unbelievable. But it's happened right under our nose. I just got a tweet from heaven. He said, it happened under our watch. The church in America, and us to some degree, will have to answer to God. I've been praying, I believe we've been praying. But for that kind of thing to happen under our watch is an indictment. There's only one thing that can address it. Do you understand? We have to allow God to reverse under our watch. Then we can go to heaven with some decree of. Or God will do something that issue of such kind of issues, you know, there will be other laws that will counterbalance them. Thank God, the match is not yet over. The goal score is against us now, but we can still equalize and we can still go in front. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hence this prophetic message. But it is an indictment that such a thing will happen under our nose. Hence the scripture, why should the heathen say, where is their God? Let the priests weep between the porch and the altar. For why should the heathen say, where is our God? But they are saying it. The other day, I was looking at something on television and this thoughts came to me again. And the Holy Spirit comforted me and said, look, you just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm working on these things and everything's going to be resolved. You don't worry. You know, and they were talking about, you know, the finances and all of that, you know, in the world, you know, Fortune 500 and all of that. No Christian. No professing, born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, unapologetic, unhidden disciple. We have money, we're not poor. You know, we have a little bit of money here and there. You know, maybe the good ones among us will have maybe 1 billion. Maybe 2 billion in terms of dollar. I'm talking to dollar, not naira. You know. But that's nothing. Nothing. The big players are not playing at that level. They're playing at 25, 40, 30, 60 billion. Now, people in the church who are making noise that they have money, they don't really have anything. Relatively now. You know. And scripture says that we will be head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Why would they not ask, where is your God? It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. Where is our God? So to dispel the moral and spiritual gross darkness that we're currently facing, you know, this has to be done. Then the Bible also talks about distress of nations. We saw that with the blood moon, you know, and truly the nations have been distressed. Another term that you can use is shaking. Say, I will shake these last few elections, and there's one in Austria today. You know, there's going to be another one, a referendum in Italy. You know, there is a shaking of the nations that is taking place, you know. But the good news is this. God has the Joker, which is the manifestation of the sons of God, that will arise from the church, that will bring stability to the shaking, that will bring peace to this distress. Look at Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Haggai chapter 2. And let's look at verse 7. And I will shake all nations. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. That's better. And I will shake some nations. I'll shake Nigeria. I'll shake America. I'll shake New Zealand. All nations. And I will shake. That shaking is taking place as I'm talking. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Verse 8 says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than, verse 9, shall be greater than the former. But the part I want us to focus on, and in this place, ask your neighbor, say, which place, oh? Which place, oh? Which place, oh? The house that he fills with glory, will I give peace? So as the church continues to pray and grow spiritually and release the power of God, the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, it will bring peace. It will bring peace to the shaking. It will bring peace to the distress. And you know what's going to happen? The people in the world who before didn't reckon with the church, who before didn't even recognize or appreciate the church and all of that, something will be removed from their eyes. Look at Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Hello? And look at verses 6 and 7. Stay in the King James now. And in this mountain, talk to your neighbor, say, that mountain is the church. The Zion church. The perfect church. The glorious church. And in this mountain shall the Lord make, the Lord of hosts, make unto some people. Look, there's a universal application here. Because like they said about the ministry of Joseph, this thing was not done in a corner. This is not going to be something that someone's going to hide somewhere, you know, and somebody will say they don't know. That's why God's given us internet, he's given us satellite television. It's going to be such that it will be clear. Hello, somebody. Unto what? All people. A feast of what? A feast of on the lees, of fat things full of what? Of wines on the lees, well refined. He's talking about the fine wisdom of God. Part of what we've been preaching and teaching. Verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. There is a veil. There has to be. Look at everything. What I was sharing during the Bible study. He said, the invisible things of him are clearly seen. Yet. You know, the Bible says their foolish heart was darkened. It was enlightened before. But the dishonesty darkened it. But thank God, God is going to send a deliverer. Deliverers from Zion. Hallelujah. That's going to remove the covering. So they will see. And you know what they're going to say? Go down to verse 8, 9. Verse 8. Right, and then verse 9, because of time. And it shall be said in that day, lo, what? This is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. They will see, and then they will acknowledge. Hallelujah. So God, by subduing the nations, as we subdue the nations through spiritual power, by the force of spiritual arms, God will open the eyes of the nations, and they will acknowledge our God. Even if all of them don't become Christians, not all of them will be, because God is not going to overrule the free will of every man, but they will be afraid. Let me give an example from Moses again. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says to him, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is your God? Who is your God? Come on, get out of here. So Moses throws down his rod. Jannes and Jambres, the magicians threw them there. They won't become his serpents. Moses' rod swallows their own. Oh, well, okay, maybe he's a little bit trickier than us. But doesn't disturb him. Because his heart is hardened. They will not go. You know, and on and on and on. You know the story. But the point I want to make is this. It got to a point. And it got to a time. When the Bible says, the magicians came to Pharaoh and said, this is the finger of God. In other words, they recognized that the finger they had been using is the devil. So they weren't deceived. They said, this one we've been doing, we've been using our evil spirits and principalities and powers. He said, but this one is the finger of God. So Moses, when he comes and he tells them this is going to happen, they said, those that feared the word of Moses amongst, they said they quickly, they would carry all their cattle and everything because they had discovered that if Moses says it, it happens. If Moses says it, it happens. They didn't become Christians. They did not become Jews. They did not leave Egypt with them, but they feared. That's what's going to happen. Not everybody's going to become Christian, but there will be a great respect for the God of Abraham. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. So finally, as we close, what do we do? We have to subdue the nations, but how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Two words, very simple words, that's given to us in Isaiah chapter 16. The first one is arise. Everybody say, arise! Then say, shine! They're not the same. The word arise, if you look in some of the other translations, if you check this out in the New International Version, it will say awake. New International or Message or one of these new translations use the word awake. 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 You see, the church for so long, in the great majority now, not everybody, you know, like the virgins I've spoken about, they were sleeping. But I would say, awake. In Paul's letters, he says, awake unto righteousness and sin not. In Romans chapter 13, let's go there. That's a very important scripture I want to share with us. It says, get out of bed, Jerusalem, wake up. That's the Message Bible. He's telling us, you know, we need to get our act together. Wake up. Wake up spiritually. Romans 13. I think I have the verse where it says, you know, it is time for us to awake, that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. What verse is that? Romans 13. Hello? Am I talking to anybody here? Good. Verse 11. Romans 13, 11. And that, knowing the time. Don't you never say, do you know the time? You need to be a son of Issachar, understanding the times. You should know the time spiritually. What time is it spiritually? It's just before dawn. Knowing the time that now it is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. For what? Our salvation. Salvation is not being born again. It's spirit, soul, and body. Complete redemption of the body is nearer than when believed. When we first believe. Praise the Lord. So we need to awake. And then shine. Shine is manifestation. And the Lord shared this with me. And they will bless you. He said, the shining is my business. The awakening is your own. I'm going to say it again. See, I can't shine by myself. But I can awake. Hallelujah. And when you awake, what happens when you wake up in the morning? When your eyes open and you are waking up from sleep, you've been sleeping on the bed, what do you do? Very simple, but it has great spiritual significance. You stand. When you wake in bed, you don't just keep lying on in bed. You now stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. So those are two things. They would say, awake and stand. I didn't hear you. Awake and... Everyone say, awake and... That's what we're going... That's what we're supposed to do now. Awake and stand. We awake out of sleep. If we have been sleeping. For those who have not been sleeping, who have been awake, get out of bed and stand. And the Bible does not leave us in darkness how to do these things. Look at Luke 21:36. He says, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape this thing and to stand. So watching and praying is standing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, against rulers of the darkness of this world. We get spirits in heavenly places. The Bible tells us, it says, we should stand. Having done all to stand, take unto you the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand, stand. So how do you stand? By taking all the armor of God, the armor of love, prayer. That's how you stand. Awake and stand. Everybody say, awake and stand. 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 Malachi chapter 3 says, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Who shall stand? Those who awoke and stood before he came. Who will stand the day of his coming? Those who awoke and stood before he came. Let us pray. Talk to God. Awake and stand. Awake and stand. Don't be disturbed about Nebuchadnezzar. Don't be disturbed. They are bread for us. You awake and stand. And let's keep praying. Hallelujah. Like I said, the match isn't over yet. Amen. I don't even think we've even reached halftime. Exactly. Isaiah 52. Oh, daughter of Jerusalem, shake yourself from the dust. Awake! Oh, just roll over. Oh, you know, can't do anything. These people are so bad. There's so much evil in the world. You have the light. You are the answer. Did you hear me? You are the answer. Don't you never say you are the answer of Nigeria. You are the light of Nigeria. Awake and stand. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Awake and stand. You are the light of the nations. You are the light of Nigeria. Don't let the devil bamboozle you. Amen. Those guys, all these people we're seeing, they're bread for us. They are bread for us. They're not even as tough as Nebuchadnezzar. They're not as tough as Cyrus. They're not as tough as Ahasuerus. And if they could deal with them with inferior spiritual weapons in the Old Testament, it is much easier for us to deal with these ones who are not even as wicked as those ones in the New Testament, with superior weapons. Hallelujah. So turn to your neighbor, say, the future is bright. I said, your future is bright. It is well with you. It is well with Nigeria. It is well with America, because we are subduing the nations. Talk to God. Talk to God. Awake and stand. Everybody say, awake and stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Awake and stand. It is well with you. It is well with Nigeria. Hallelujah. It is. I know there have a lot of challenges, but don't let that. That's it, will be a distraction. Don't take your eye off the ball. Awake and stand. Watch and pray always. Awake and stand. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Make it a habit once every 6 hours at every opportunity. Keep praying. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. That's where your power is. Esther recognized she didn't have any power. She couldn't subdue Ahasuerus physically. She couldn't. Mordecai had no power against Ahasuerus. No physical power. But they subdued him by the force of spiritual arms. We will subdue our nations by the force of spiritual arms. Hallelujah. Glorious things are thee spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word.
He.
Sure repose. nations walls surrounded, we now smile at all our glorious things of thee are spoken. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Zion, city of our God. He whose words cannot be broken. For me, subduing the nations. Awake and stand. If you've been sleeping, awake. If you've not been sleeping, stand. Check yourself. Are you sleeping? To be sleeping is not to be dead. It just means to be unaware. It's awake. Awake to righteousness. Awake and sin not. Awake to the realities of what's going on around us. Then stand. take on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand, stand. Watch and pray always. Stand. God has not left us in darkness. He's told us exactly what to do. We're winning. We are winning. Don't worry about what's happening. We are winning. Hallelujah. Things are turning in our favor. Things are changing for our good. But stand. Stand. Raise that hand. Touch that heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that as a church, it is our job through prayer by the force of spiritual arms to subdue the nations so that your kingdom will come and your will be done through the nations, so that, Lord God, ultimately we can disciple the nations, preach the gospel of the kingdom unto every tribe, tongue, and kindred before your final return. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, awaken me to this reality. Enlighten my understanding. Let the urgency of this moment be paramount in my heart. In the name of Jesus, shed fresh light, fresh revelation about these things, so that I will awake and I will stand in this hour in the name of Jesus, and I will be a vessel, a tool in your hand to subdue the nations in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this high calling. I thank you for this great privilege. Like Esther, like Esther, like Esther, I say I understand that I've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I will not love my life unto the death. I will awake and I will stand by watching and praying always until I shine. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashtufredes. Likredo mashtufrenengaras. Lo prikitusko frenengaras. Jelekitufredes. Longar tus tu frio, longar tolomastana, lambre katoste, jeki tu frinis, tolomangara toske fre, luprio, jeki tu frining tolomangar, lambre koma tolom tu du frishi, tolom tu koma tu, tolom 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 tu du frishi ka kro, tolom tolom tu frish, zo ko ko koma tolom, lambre koma tolom ka kro tolom tu fre, lambre ko koma tolom tolom tu frisho, tolos tu frinis, ni frinis. Jiki tu frines, zofredeles, jelekaros, tu frines, tolomangaras, tolos, tu fres, jiki tu fres, tolomangaras, tu frines, jiki tu frines, delomangaras, tolomos tu fres, tolomaras, tu frines, tu freningaras, tolomosha. In Jesus' name, keep the hand on your body, raise the other hand to God as we pray for our healing. Our healing and our health is very important. And I want to remind us something I've been saying in the last over a year, probably more. You know, there is a work that is being done at the cellular level, deep inside you. This is not something that is obvious on the outside. So don't keep looking for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Death, sickness is incipient death. It works, it's working at the cellular DNA level, accumulating errors, destroying the immune system little by little, little. That's why people die. These prayers that we pray every Sunday, and which you should be praying for yourself personally on a daily basis. If you're doing your life scriptures every day, you should be doing them. There's a scripture that, you know, Romans 8, you know, give life to my physical members, for my healing and health, to renew my youth, for my healing and health, to, reverse, operate in by reversing in, my soul and body. You know, they are very important because because they are operating at the cellular level, deep down inside, and gradually you are changing death to life. Don't forget it. You are changing death. Your life is reigning in your members, in your cells, in your DNA, and so on. Remember this. The Lord says, I should share this so that it will encourage you. It took Adam's body 1,000 years to learn how to die. 1,000. It had been programmed to live. The day he sinned, God said, you will die. But he didn't die that day. But the death principle started to work. The good news now is that death has been in our own, but our own has been programmed back to life. Hallelujah. And it's not going to take 1,000 years. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life is working in your members. Life is working. Don't stop saying it. Don't stop thinking it. Don't stop believing it. Hallelujah. It keeps working and 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 working. And the more it happens, the healthier you're going to get. The stronger you're going to get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So when we pray, pray with meaning. Pray with understanding. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. By the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, we are healed. I am legally free from sickness and disease because Jesus himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. So sickness and disease and death have no legal right in my body, and I will not allow them to reign or prevail. I release resurrection life and power into my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet in the name of Jesus, into my heart, my kidney, all my blood vessels, all my internal organs, into the DNA of every cell in my body so that they will function error-free, into my immune system so it will function error-free in the name of Jesus. I say, I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Le katolo mashala brekoto fres, le brigetoski fre, langra tosku fridia, jiki tufre, langiko zafri, lo brigetosku fridingala, lambra katoske, jiki tufre, lombrigetolo masho, lambra katolo, lambrigetolo matolo na klama tolo matufri dufrishi. Toloma 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 kaklama toloma tufri dufrishi. Zufri zufri kaklama tukru. Toloma 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 tufri dufrishi. Zefri lambrika toloma kaklama toloma lambrika matoloma sh. Toloma shtufrines zufrines. Jikitoras tolomangaras tolomangaras. Jikitufres tolomangaras tufrines nufrines nongaras. Jikitufres longardolos zufrines nufrines nongaras. Jiki Tufres, Longaras, Tufris, Celes, Tufrines, Tulos, Jikos, Tufrines, Zofrideles, Tufrines, Tolomangaras, Tufrides, Mangaras. In Jesus' name. Join us with somebody. As we take the benediction, think on the word of God. It took 1,000 years. For Adam to die, learn for his body to learn how to die. It took God 25 years compared to 1,000 to reverse the death in Abraham and Sarah's body so that their bodies, the Bible says, she received strength to conceive. Abraham's body became a body like a young man's body again. That's just a type. Just shows, look at the contrast. 1,025. How many years have you been doing it? Don't stop. Don't stop. I said, don't stop. I just don't stop. for your redemption draweth nigh. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. I say you are at least 10 times better than your peers. You are head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. In the name of Jesus, you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you. I said with long life will God satisfy you. I said with long life will God satisfy you. I said with long life will God satisfy you. And show you his salvation. Even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over and say, awake and stand. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Next week,